The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome on this eve of a long weekend, I guess. I was wondering, actually, if anybody would show up, thinking you'd all be off on vacation or something. So it's nice to see you all here. So I thought I would explore tonight with you a particular area of our experience that is often overlooked. It's a natural part of our experience. It happens all the time, and yet we aren't so consciously aware of it. And that's whether our experience in any moment is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. It's a very simple aspect of our experience. And according to Buddhist psychology, it happens in every single moment of experience. Every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, every touch, every thought or emotion that arises in the mind, every single one has this flavor of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And the reason why this is an interesting place to explore in our mindfulness practice is that so much of the way that we find ourselves caught in reactivity is based in not clearly seeing our response to this simple feeling tone of experience. We'll call this a pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral aspect of experience, feeling tone. It's not a full-on emotion. It's just a very simple quality of our experience. And because it's often beneath the surface, because it's often something that we're not consciously aware of, we have some habitual patterns of reactivity around these qualities of experience. Often when something is pleasant, we like it, we want more of it, we want to hold on to it. If we get it, we have it, we're perhaps a little bit agitated about keeping it, so there may be some anxiety or fear that comes up as we're trying to hold on to something that we like. If we don't like something, if we want to get rid of it, push it away, a whole range of aversive emotions can come up around that. And so it's very interesting to begin to look at this connection between our reactive emotions and this quality of whether something's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, and to look at the relationship between them. It's actually this feeling tone is, it's a very kind of natural result of just the evolution of our biology that we experience this quality of feeling tone. Every creature, every living creature seems to have something of this. You know, even a single-celled creature will kind of gravitate towards nourishment and gravitate away from noxious chemicals. And so it seems like it's a part of our evolution that we have this experience of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. It's partly something that helps keep us alive. You know, the very natural response of our body to physical pain. You know, when you put your hand near a flame, your body will automatically withdraw from it because that's a feedback mechanism. It's a mechanism that helps the mind and body to recognize this way lies danger, this way lies safety. And so it's a very natural part of our experience. And yet so much of the way that we end up struggling in our lives has not to do with that very natural response to the world, but with a lot of layers that get put on top of that response. And so looking at this familiar process of how when we have an experience of something that's unpleasant, very often below the surface. It's like it's automatically not liked and automatically rejected. And so right there, we have this this tightening in our mind around unpleasant experience. Pain, for example, you know, a pain in the body. Just as a simple example of how it can get almost like exacerbated, this unpleasant experience. We may have a little twinge somewhere. During the sitting, I had this little bit of moisture coming out here, and it was burning. It was unpleasant, and I noticed it. And there was this little tightening in the body. It's like, yeah, okay, not liking is happening, and there's this little bit of reaction of pushing away. But I noticed it, and I could see that reactivity was actually adding to the unpleasantness. So this is there's the unpleasant feeling in the body, this little bit of painful experience, there's not liking, there's pushing it away, there's wanting it to change, wanting to do something about it. And so all of that mental stuff was laid on top of this very simple experience. And when I started actually looking at the experience itself, it was just a very small, like, buzzing sensation on the skin. A lot of the unpleasantness of it had to do with it being compounded by having all of this reactivity layered on top of it. And so we can begin to explore, you know, what is actually going on in our experience? Is this reactivity actually something that's serving me in some way? Or is it actually making my experience worse? And so the Buddha really encouraged us to explore this particular area of experience. He gave a lot of detailed instructions on mindfulness meditation. And in his instructions on mindfulness meditation in particular, he spent a whole section on looking at this area of experience. Very simple instructions. I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you. He said, when you experience pleasant feeling, know that you're experiencing pleasant feeling. When you experience unpleasant feeling, know that you're experiencing unpleasant feeling. So just in a very simple way, be aware when experience is pleasant or unpleasant. This is helpful because so much of the kind of automatic leaping into reactivity happens because we are not aware of this feeling tone. It's like we have these habitual reactions to feeling. Something's pleasant, we automatically like it and want it and want to hold on to it. Something's unpleasant, we automatically want to push it away and get rid of it, without even recognizing that we've experienced something pleasant or unpleasant at the beginning. We're in reactive mode without even knowing what we are reacting to. And so the Buddha encouraged us to begin to recognize what is actually pleasant or unpleasant in our experience. And this is, I think, a helpful tool for us when we are in reactivity. If we're experiencing some kind of anxiety or aversion or some kind of wanting, it's like, what is pleasant in this experience? What is unpleasant in this experience? Just beginning to kind of expose it for ourselves. I want to talk a little bit about this feeling tone itself, and then a little bit about familiarizing ourselves with the experience of it. So as I said at the beginning, you know, this feeling tone, whether something's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, is associated with every single part of our experience, our physical sensations. And that's kind of easy to see, you know. It's like when there's something touching our body, or, you know, we experience heat or coolness, we have a sense, perhaps, of whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, even though we may not really be aware of it. You know, like I was talking to somebody earlier who said, wow, it's really hot in here. Oh, I don't like this heat. And so there was the experience of heat, and yet, perhaps not the clear awareness of, oh, unpleasant is happening right now. It's like, heat's happening, I don't like it, I want to do something about it, let me lower the air conditioning so there's cooler in here. And so not clearly recognizing that some of the reactivity was coming just from, oh, this is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. And so body sensations have unpleasant experience. Some sights, sounds, smells, taste, touch. We have a sense, I think, when we are navigating our lives that we know that things are pleasant or unpleasant. And so it's not like, you know, something that it's completely like out of our field of awareness, but it's not something we often consciously recognize, this experience. And so we react to the experience like the heat. We think we're reacting to the heat, when really we're experiencing something unpleasant and we're reacting to that. And so to begin to recognize what actually is going on here. We think we're reacting perhaps to, you know, the smell of hot roofing tar is something that I don't particularly like. You know, we think that our mind thinks we're reacting to that, but actually there's an unpleasant quality that we're reacting to. So all of our physical senses have this feeling tone associated with it. Our mind, everything that happens in our mind has this feeling tone associated with it. So emotions, pleasantness, happiness is a pleasant emotion. Anger generally experienced as an unpleasant emotion. There are a few, you know, something like peace is, it could be considered a pleasant emotion also, but might also be more neutral and not quite so clearly pleasant or unpleasant. So our emotions, our mind states, and our physical experience all has this feeling tone associated with it. So there's feeling tone associated with body sensation and mind, and yet this feeling tone itself is understood in Buddhist psychology to be mental. So even when we're experiencing like physical pain, cut ourselves with a knife, for instance, this feeling tone is understood to be something that's happening in our minds. I read an interesting study about this. So this, this is what Buddhist psychology says. Also, scientific research bears this out too. There was a study done about physical pain, and the first line in this report says, "Pain isn't always a pain. Sometimes it can actually feel good." And so this study, they were looking at how people perceive pain, wanting to see how people respond to pain and how expectations feed in to the experience of pain. So this is a really important piece because there's a lot of expectations, views, beliefs that feed into how we experience things as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so this study will give a flavor of that. So they had two levels of this experiment, two sequences. At first, they hooked up 16 participants to a device that applied variable levels of painful heat to their arms. At the same time, they measured brain activity to determine, you know, were they experiencing pain or pleasure. In the first setting, participants experienced either a series of moderately painful stimulus, about as painful as grasping a slightly too hot cup of coffee, or no pain. In a second setup, the participants experienced a series of either moderate or intense pain. On a screen, the participants could see what type of pain was coming up next in the series. In the first scenario, where they either experienced the moderate pain or no pain, the participants rated the moderate pain as painful. In the second scenario, when they experienced either the moderate pain or the intense pain, and they were anticipating one or the other, apparently they said participants rated the moderate pain as pleasurable when the alternative was the intense pain. During the moderate stimulus in the second setup, The participants' brain activity also showed less activation in the pain region of the brain and more activation in the area of the brain that is associated with pain relief and pleasure. So while experiencing this painful stimulus, because of the kind of the relief of not getting a more painful stimulus, they rated or experienced that moderate pain as pleasurable. The researchers were surprised with this. They said they expected that they would experience a kind of a relief or a reduction in pain, but not actually pleasure for the moderate pain in that second scenario. So this is an indication of just how much our mental activity influences what we experience as pleasure or pain, and how it is a kind of mind-constructed. So we can get familiar with this process of knowing the physical, of knowing the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, both in our bodily experience and how our ideas impact this, our views, our beliefs. So let's do a little bit of a exploration, just for a few minutes, to kind of get familiar with what it might mean to pay attention to this aspect of experience in our mindfulness. And so we'll do just a little bit of a, I'll just do a little bit of a settling in, and then I'll suggest various parts of your body to pay attention to. And as we go to those places, just check in and see whether you're recognizing pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. So just allowing yourself to relax, connecting with the breath, relaxing the body. The first thing I'd like you to check into is, what's the most obvious experience, physical experience, right now? Might be the pressure of your hips or some other physical experience. Just what's most obvious? What's the most obvious physical experience? And do you have a sense of whether that's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Just hang out with that knowledge. Okay, that experience, it's just maybe slightly unpleasant, or maybe it's slightly pleasant. Just know it. And what's the next most obvious experience, physical experience? And also, do you have a sense of whether that's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? If you can't tell whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's probably neutral. So you could just know it as neutral. Now I'm going to suggest some particular areas of the body to direct your attention to. And as we do that, just checking in, what's the physical, what's the felt sense of the feeling tone there? And the contact of your hips with the chair, or cushion, or floor, bench. Is it pleasant, unpleasant, neutral? How about the experience in your knees? You don't need to know precisely what the sensations are, but just a sense of Pleasant or unpleasant or neutral? Might be parts of the experience that are pleasant, parts that are unpleasant. Again, just recognizing it. About the area around your mouth. And now what I'd like to suggest, keeping in touch with this area around your mouth and noticing the experience of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Staying there. Allow the corners of your mouth to turn up in a little smile and see what happens with the feeling tone. So did you get a sense of this simple quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral? Have a sense of that? So often it's not that hard to see, actually, when we kind of highlight it or learn to recognize it. But so often it is just below the level of our conscious awareness. So in that little exercise, we explored looking at physical sensations as pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. There's also this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral associated with our mental experience, our moods, emotions. And then there is this interesting feedback loop between what's happening in our minds and what happens in our bodies in terms of the experience of feeling. If we have particular, like the expectation in that study that I talked about, if the participant was expecting either moderate pain or no pain, that expectation influenced the experience of pain or pleasure. And likewise with the second scenario. And this kind of thing goes on a lot. It's a big participant in the way that our mind moves into reactivity around feeling tone. So one example of this in my own practice. You know, actually, I think a lot of what we think of as physically unpleasant comes because we have some idea or belief that's going on, or some emotion that's happening that is itself pleasant or unpleasant and is influencing how we're perceiving our physical experience. And so an example of this, I was sitting late one night, middle of the night kind of thing, having trouble sleeping, and so I just got up to sit. And while I was sitting, I started hearing this very quiet little tapping sound. It's like a really quiet little tapping sound like that. And there was a reaction to that. My initial experience was that sound is unpleasant. The interpretation that the mind gave to the sound was that sound is unpleasant. And so, you know, I just was being present, and so noticing, okay, yep, that's unpleasant, okay. And then it would stop and just be back watching experience, and then it would start again, and I would notice the unpleasantness again. This happened enough times that I got to watch the process that went on in my mind and body. So at one point, I began to notice that as I heard the tapping, there was a contraction. It's a contraction in the body. The contraction was unpleasant. The sound was there. It was being interpreted as unpleasant. The contraction was unpleasant. So I was like, okay, contraction, that's also unpleasant. Can I relax the body? Sound would come, contraction would happen again. I would stop for a while. I'd just keep meditating, and at some point it happened again, and I saw this little flash of fear when the tapping started. This subtle little flash of fear that I hadn't really consciously noticed. The fear, when I noticed it, the fear was definitely unpleasant. It was really clearly unpleasant. When we begin to connect with the actual experience of these emotions, these reactive emotions, with mindfulness, we can tell, oh, that's unpleasant. Most of the reactive emotions are unpleasant. And so there it was, fear and the unpleasantness of the fear, kind of a whole body unpleasantness all the way through the viscera. You know, it's like the stomach clenches and the breathing gets a little bit ragged. So the fear was unpleasant. And when I could notice that, the next time I heard the tapping, I realized that the tapping itself was neutral, or maybe even slightly pleasant. It was just like this little quiet tap sound. But what had happened was there was this little process that had happened in my mind, something along the lines of, and in retrospect, I think it was like, oh, maybe there's a rat in the wall. And what if there's a hole in my wall and the rat comes in the room? That was kind of what my brain was doing with this little tapping sound. And the creation of the fear, the creation of the reactivity around that, that was not seen. And so I was interpreting the sound itself as unpleasant. When I saw the fear, when I saw the little bit of reactivity in the mind, I could recognize that the unpleasantness, what was actually unpleasant, was the fear itself and these thoughts in the mind, creating some idea about what was going on. And so when we are experiencing reactivity, I think one of the really helpful tools is to start to explore, well, what actually is going on here? So in this example, I was just noticing as best I could, well, it feels to me like the sound is unpleasant. So I'm paying attention to that. I'm noticing that unpleasantness. And as I just kept observing it, the rest of this began to be revealed. The little flash of fear, the contraction in the body, all of which really exposed how this was just a process in the mind. It had really not much bearing on what was going on. I never found out what the tapping was, but, you know, it went away. So this, you know, this exploration of what actually is happening here, what is the mind reacting to? When there's reaction, when there's a reaction going on in the mind, there's something pleasant or unpleasant, usually in the mix, that is being reacted to. Often with these reactive emotions, there's something unpleasant going on. Although it can be an interesting flip around something pleasant. For instance, when we have something, you know, we have something that we like, and we find ourselves like feeling really tight about it, or fearful that it will go away, or, you know, trying to. Here's an example. You know, so much of our lives we try to create the situation where people will think highly of us or will approve of us or appreciate us in some way. And we experience some kind of pleasure through that approval or appreciation. So we're kind of navigating our lives trying to create that experience, trying to believing that our happiness depends on other people feeling a certain way around it, about us, and yet not recognizing that what we're really attached to is some idea of it would feel good if somebody thought of me in that way. That it's just this, so much of where we gravitate around is not so much about pleasant and unpleasant in the physical world, trying to get things that we want or hold on to things, but around ideas and beliefs. That we try to construct our lives to have pleasant ideas or pleasant beliefs, navigating our lives in this way. So it can be really helpful to start to look at what, when we're reacting, so, you know, we're reacting to something, somebody is, we think somebody has lost their good opinion of us. What's actually going on there? You know, is it that really that person has lost the good opinion? Maybe that person has lost the good opinion. Maybe they've said something that makes us think that they've lost the good opinion. But what's going on actually often is that there's something in our mind. It's the belief that they've lost the good opinion that we're really reacting to, because we don't really know what's going on in their minds. So it's really helpful to distinguish what we're actually reacting to. So when there is reactivity, when we are reacting in our, you know, we have fear or anxiety or confusion, there's usually something unpleasant when we have a reactive emotion. Or it's something pleasant that we're just so tied to that we're afraid it's going to go away, like that idea about somebody's good opinion of us going away, that we live our lives kind of like trying to keep constructing that other people will have these opinions of us. And so we end up having, you know, anxiety about losing other people's good opinion. So it's like the anxiety comes because we're afraid of losing that pleasant experience. Our lives unfold by believing or thinking that we're reacting to so much complexity out there. Oh, this person doesn't like me, or this person, or that person cut in front of me. But really, so much of what's going on is that we're reacting to a little bit of clenching of fear that is unpleasant, or a little bit of an idea that this person believes something about us, and that thought in our mind is unpleasant. And this is why the Buddha pointed to checking into feeling tone. Because the complexity of our reactivity can get much simpler when we start looking at, wow, you know, what I'm actually doing is just trying to create pleasant experience here. I'm trying to hold on to pleasant experience, trying to get rid of unpleasant experience. And just seeing that that's the process at work. And so when there is reactivity, like anger, for example, or frustration, it can be really helpful to kind of say, okay, well, there's reaction going on here. And in our minds, it's about this whole complex situation, right? It's about this whole scenario out in the world. But can we simplify and say, okay, there's this frustration going on here. What's unpleasant in the experience? Is there something unpleasant that I'm reacting to here? That can kind of help to simplify so much of the stories and beliefs and views that we think we're reacting to. So pain is a good example here. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, when we're sitting in meditation, for example, and feeling some kind of pain and reacting to that. Sometimes it gets pretty intolerable. It feels really uncomfortable. And we feel like, what's the point of sitting here with this pain? And the mind gets really tight around it. If we can actually look at, okay, there is this physical experience, there's the physical pain, and there's the mental pain too. Actually, this is a big place of the exploration, the contact or the cross links, the cross fertilization between mental feeling and physical feeling. When we're having a physical unpleasant experience, a pain in the knee, for example, often what comes along with that is a mental unpleasant experience of aversion, of anger, of frustration. And so we have the physical unpleasant experience happening and the mental unpleasant experience. And they don't just kind of like add up. They multiply each other. And so when we have a physical pain and a mental reaction, it rapidly cycles so that the physical pain just feels like completely unbearable. But a lot of that, at least when I've explored this, a lot of when I look at it, it's like, well, actually, if I check out what the actual physical experience is, it's like, it's a little twinge. It's a little ache, maybe. On the scale of 1 to 10, maybe it's like a 3. And yet the mind is kind of going nuts. It's like, wow, that little twinge, it might get worse. If I have to keep sitting here for 45 minutes like this, by the end of the time, I'm not going to be able to walk. I'm going to actually have a damaged knee. And the mind is just kind of going wild with it. And that experience of the mind going wild is also unpleasant. And so we have the physical unpleasant and the mental unpleasant. And so much of the experience in that whole complex, the unpleasantness of that experience, is related to the reactivity. It's related to the aversion. And so when we can start to tease those apart, what is the actual feeling tone in the body, and what's the feeling tone in the mind, as we start to get familiar with the feeling tone? Very, very helpful to start to tease those apart. And what we see in that kind of exploration, particularly around pain, is that so much of what's experienced as pain is actually our mind being jarred, our mind being contracted. And if we are willing to hang out and watch this for a while, we may start to recognize or see from time to time that mental reactivity falling away or getting weaker. And then we start to see how those two feed back with each other. We might see, actually, well, it's just this little twinge. And then we might feel the rising of that, oh, but I can't stand this, I gotta stay here for another 40 minutes, oh no. And then we see how the whole situation feels much worse. Maybe we can just let that be for a while, watch that mental reactivity, begin to get notice the difference between the unpleasantness in the mind and the unpleasantness in the body. Begin to notice that difference and see how they interrelate. When we see, from time to time I've seen in my meditation, the whole mental side of the reactivity fall away, it's like a revelation. You know, the physical reactivity, the physical experience of unpleasantness, it's just unpleasant experience. It's very interesting to see that actually the vast majority of what we even call pain, what we call pain, is actually the mind's reactivity. That when that reactivity falls away, what's left is physical unpleasant sensation, sometimes strong physical unpleasant sensation, but often not even experienced as what we call pain. It's just physical experience. Now, one piece I want to just say, I have to say this because I'm not advocating that you damage your body. You know, if you're experiencing physical pain that is very strong, we can use wisdom. Wisdom can help us, you know, recognize, oh, this is actually pain that needs to be moved. You know, this is pain that I need to actually adjust my posture with. But when we start to tease apart the mental reactivity and the physical, the wisdom of our system can begin to point out, well, yeah, actually, this pain is pretty minor. So, you know, I don't really need to move. Or no, this pain's pretty strong. At one point, I was working with some pain that was actually ending up to be sciatica, and so you know the pain deep in my hip was felt like I was sitting on a nail sometimes. And when I started feeling that, you know, I recognized over time the consequences of that when I sat with that pain, and I could because when the reactivity wasn't there, it was not hard to sit with that experience. And sometimes it wasn't even pain. It was more just like a feeling of numbness in the foot. And so, you know, just noticing these sensations and recognizing, over time I began to recognize that that when I had those sensations after sitting, they didn't go away for a long time. And this is often a clue for us. If we have some kind of physical experience, painful experience, that when we stop sitting, that it lasts for a long time, that might be a clue that not a good way to sit, not a good way to sit or change the posture. And so I began to recognize that when I got that feeling of numbness in my foot or that feeling of the nail, that I would move. But it wasn't out of aversion. I wasn't moving because I hated the pain. It was more like, oh yeah, this is not so helpful for the body to stay in this situation. And so we can begin at teasing apart the reactivity. As we tease apart the reactive side of our minds, then wisdom can begin to enter and skillfully understand how to respond to pain and pleasure so that we're not always in reactive mode. I want to leave some time. Let's see if there's anything more here in my notes. Let's just see if there's any comments or questions right now. Anything that, about anything I've said.
So for I was noticing for a lot of unpleasant pain, sometimes it's not enough just to see it or to see the mental strain as well and the emotional sides, but also to kind of see it with an intention of gentleness.
Absolutely. You know,
so it's like it's almost in my experience, it's like I'm feeling unpleasant, so I'm seeing my unpleasant with unpleasantness.
So you're seeing the unpleasantness with a friendly attitude.
Yeah. Well, I changed the attitude.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. It's like So initially the seeing the unpleasantness with unpleasant attitude, and that's what I was saying creates this feedback loop. Right, and so if you can kind of switch, we may or may not be able to switch that attitude in the mind. Mm. You know, sometimes it's like so tight that all that we can do is recognize, yes, there's pain and I don't like it. Okay, can I be kind about that? It's like, no, I don't have to have an aversive attitude to the not liking. It's like, oh, I'm frustrated by this pain, and oh, I want it to go away, and I'm angry about the frustration. It's like, can we see the whole pattern? It's like, okay, yes, there's pain, there's frustration. Of course there's frustration. Can I be, you know, just like not resisting that too? So sometimes we have to kind of take a step back even still and have a kind approach to the whole picture. Yeah. But, you know, just sometimes I've seen that when I can actually tease apart the physical, actual physical, from the mental reactivity. You know, an itch is a really good one to do this with. Because itches, you know, they tend to drive us nuts. They're really hard to sit with. But as far as I know, nobody's ever, like, had damage by sitting with an itch. You know, it's like, it's not going to hurt you to sit with an itch. But you really get to see your mind and how agitated the mind gets around it. So that's a good example of, you know, okay, here's the experience, here's the sensation, that buzzing sensation, and here's the frustrated mind. And, you know, sometimes we can't just say, you know, I don't want that frustration, turn off frustration, I don't need you, it's not useful. We can't do that. But we can watch the whole show. We can say, okay, yep, there is the itch and there's frustration. Can I allow that whole thing to be there? And sometimes that gives us enough space that we can just watch the fluctuations of the sensations. You know, you seeing like the itch itself has fluctuations. You know, it gets strong and weak and strong and weak and strong and weak. And the reaction to that will have fluctuations. And as we start to see those fluctuations, we again start to learn something about how they interact. So definitely, I really appreciate your bringing up the kind relationship to experience. And if you can switch the attitude of aversion to one of kindness, that's fantastic. And yet sometimes we can't. So thank you. Yeah, in the back.
As I was listening to you, I was thinking of an example where your reaction could be you actually encourage the negative reaction because you enjoy it. It's like what we talk about, say, a pity party. You know, you've experienced something, and then you wallow in that, and you love the wallowing in it, and you actually don't want to give up, realizing that really the event itself isn't that bad, but it's your reaction to it, and you love it, and you stay within it. So it's like,
so that's a great example, you know, too, of like, what is it that you're finding pleasure in there? You know, what is the pleasure there? You know, it's like the wallowing, you know. It's very interesting, you know. It's like there's some idea. You know, often I think some of these, the more complex ways that feeling is happening is around our beliefs. Maybe I should try the other mic. Is it on? There we go. We'll see if this one's any better. So it's around our beliefs and our ideas, our views, and exactly that of like somehow, you know, sometimes simple familiarity with something can be pleasurable, even in a funny way, even if it's uncomfortable. It's like I noticed at some point that most of, you know, what I called me was this kind of familiar contractions of body. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that I know that, Andrea. That's the one that's contracted in this way. And it's just, it's so familiar that it's like, yeah, I'm familiar with that. And somehow familiarity itself has a pleasurable quality. You know, what we're familiar with, we tend to gravitate to, even if it's unpleasant. And so it's, there's so much in the mind, beliefs, ideas. Maybe we think in the pity party that we're getting, I don't know, some, well, what do you think? What do you think's pleasurable in the pity party?
Well, I think it's that sense of experiencing the pain. You know, it's like there is a point where I think if you have a certain amount of pain that it's pleasurable, you know, in that you feel an emotional pain can move into that area, I think, too. You know, there's a point, you know, if you have very hot water, like you talk about, very hot, there's a point where that actually heat can actually be a pleasant experience. It's a strange threshold, I think.
It's possible.
I think it's emotional. I think it's the same thing, that there's a certain amount of pleasure in that level of pain that you're feeling, that you're pushing that pain threshold, but it's you in control of it.
I would question whether you're really in control of it.
You think you are.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, the pity party thing feels like, you know, it's possible, I suppose, that it's just like, you know, it reaches a threshold that you actually like the unpleasant, the feeling itself, like sadness or something. But I think there's probably some idea in there of like, oh, poor me, you know. Oh, people are going to feel so sorry for me. And, you know, kind of an idea that gets created about, you know, how all these people are going to come and say nice things to me because I feel so bad. And, you know, it's like, that's what's pleasant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, maybe not so much the actual sadness, but just some construct of mind that is like something that we're getting out of it.
Yeah, I think you can have both. I agree with you. It is that, I think, too. You know, that people would come flocking to you, and you don't want somebody then to bring you out of that. It's like, God, I was enjoying this.
Yeah. It's like, no, you want the attention, right? Maybe it's the attention that's pleasurable. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? We only have about a minute left, so why don't we just sit for a minute? Another interesting exploration around pleasant and unpleasant. It may seem a little counterintuitive. But as you just sit here, just let yourself connect with the breath. And see if you can explore how it might be possible or whether it might be possible to breathe in a way that feels really comfortable. Allow the breath to be pleasant. It's actually okay to do this with the perspective of supporting the interest in paying attention to the breath. And so we can use this aspect of pleasant to help in our meditation. Thank you.